In the name of the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. A great deal of the time, it seems to me, we are just lost. We're confused. We get angry. We're not sure how to act or react. Our families squabble. We lose our jobs. People drive airplanes into the side of mountains, and we have treaties to see who can have the most bombing power. We don't know what to do much of the time. We are often lost. And if it's that way for us today, consider what it must have been like for those people on that day, on that Friday. Because after all, Jesus was dead. God's beautiful baby boy is dead. And not just dead, dead murdered like a criminal. How could this be? We believed him. And we trusted him. And where were they? Where was Simon who carried across the part of the way? Did he follow him all the way up the hill? Where were the people who had their sight restored? Where were they that day? And the lepers who had been cleansed and the people whose demons had been cast out, where were they? Were they all just lost? Where were the 5,000 people that came and sat for that abundant learning and the abundance of food? Where were they all that day? Were they all just lost? Imagine how they must have felt. And they did what we often do when we are lost. We begin to find somebody to blame. Oh, it was the Jews, they said. And so when we celebrate that bit of anti-Semitism every single year up until this one, it was the Jews that killed Jesus. After all, didn't the high priest say, it's better that one of us die than all of us? But it wasn't the Jews that killed Jesus. They had no ability to execute anyone, so it must have been the Romans. The Romans killed him. Wasn't the Romans. And we even consider and we sing in hymns that it was us. I crucified him, but it wasn't me. It was God. It was God. And I have that on good authority. We just heard it. Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to release you or crucify you? And Jesus himself told me, you wouldn't have any power at all unless it was given to you from above. It was God. When Jesus was in the garden and he was praying, let this cup pass from me, he wasn't praying to the Jews or to me or to the Romans. He was praying to his Father. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not because it's what I want, but only if it's what you want. And it is not what he wanted. It was God. I know it from what is probably the most popular bit of gospel we ever read and quote. We call it the gospel in miniature. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. It was God, was it not? God loved us so much that he would give up his beautiful, perfect boy, and he would do that, his son, for us. And I don't know what to do about that. There's a symbol, a wonderful symbol in the Gospel of Mark that I'm sure we remember, and it talks about at the very time that Jesus died, the veil was broken, it was rent in two. Remember that? There was a veil that separated part of the temple, from the Holy of Holies, the place where we believe that God resided. And we aren't fit to go there. Only once a year can the high priest, and only the high priest, can enter there. And only on the day of Passover, and only he can do that once a year for everyone else to go in and enter the Holy of Holies and offer the blood sacrifice. But if he wasn't pure and entered that place, he would die. And so the high priest, on his beautiful robes, at the bottom there would be little bells. And as he moved around, the priests would listen to see if they heard the bells. Because if they heard the bells, it meant he was still moving. But if the bells stopped, he was not pure. He was not worthy. And he would die. And they went so far as even to tie a rope around his ankle, so that if he died in there, they could pull him out. Because we are not worthy to enter into where God lives. Now, if you picture this veil that separates us from this Holy of Holies as a little bit of Irish lace, that would be incorrect. The veil is 60 feet tall. That's probably 10 feet or so taller than the peak of this building, I guess. 30 feet wide. This building's 36 feet from side to side. And 10 inches thick. When they put the veil up, it took 300 priests to lift it up and put it in place so God could be separated from his people. And at that moment, when Jesus gave himself up for us at the command and wish of his Father, all that went away. We are present with God in that moment, and from that moment forever. There is no wall or veil to separate us. Nothing separates us any longer from that day, given what Jesus did. What can I do about that? How do I respond to that wonderful gift, for that wonderful passion, a gift beyond any gift I could even consider giving? What can I do? How do I respond? And as I consider that, I thought of what I believe is as beautiful poetry as any poetry I've ever known. And it's from a hymn right in our hymn book. And we'll sing it later today. But often when we sing it, we don't hear the words as clearly as we might. How do I respond? I want to thank him. I don't know how. And the words are from the fourth verse of our hymn, O Sacred Head. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend? You are my dearest friend. We address Jesus as my dearest friend because greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends, he told us. I don't have the words, I don't have the language, Jesus, to begin to thank you. I don't. It must be a language from heaven. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for your most bitter passion and your pity without end? I am trying to thank you. And then the plea, the human plea that reminds us that we may be, we will be, we will occasionally be, we will often be lost in this world. Oh, make me yours forever. And should I fainting be, when I stumble, when it's difficult, when I can't stand the sorrow anymore, Lord, let me never, ever outlive my love for thee. Think of the beauty of that poetry. I want my love for Jesus to outlive my years. It's a beautiful thought. And we think about the people on that day who stood under the cross, and they were lost. I understand. We have this benefit. They just had Friday. We have Friday also. But Sunday's coming.